You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's Thursday, September 14th, and welcome to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Every week, I, John Wall, will bring you the latest gaming impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek, delivered to you in 15 minutes to fit your busy life. I am very happy to have you here today, and on this episode, I'm going to be talking about the game The Master's Pupil. To make sure you never miss an episode, you can subscribe to the show, which is available on all major platforms, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And I would greatly appreciate it if you left a review while you're there. It really helps to get the word out about the show. Also, if you would like to chat about today's show or just talk about games, you can find me on Twitter, Threads, and Facebook by searching for Midlife Side Quest. Every week I open the episode by sending out some positive vibes. It's a special shout out to somebody whom I admire and appreciate in an attempt to spread a little positivity and maybe make the gaming community a bit more welcoming for everybody. And this week's positive vibes are going out to Elias Tufexis. Tufexis has a long and impressive career in both television as well as voice acting and video games. On the screen, you might know him from shows like Star Trek Discovery and The Expanse. And in gaming, he has starred as Adam Jensen in Deus Ex, Prometheus in Immortals Phoenix Rising, and as the Penguin in Gotham Knights. But it's his most recent role as Sam Coe in Starfield that turned me into a fan. Early on in the game, you can play around with the various companion characters, deciding who you want to accompany you on your missions. And while my first instinct was to go with Andrea, played by the awesome Sissy Jones, I was eventually won over by the space cowboy with a heart of gold. His backstory is interesting. I love the fact that his daughter tags along on your ship as you explore the universe. Their dialogue is really fun, and Tufexis just does a knockout job as the character. He's kind of like Han Solo, but a little more down to earth. Plus, since I've followed him on Twitter, it seems like he's a pretty good dude to boot. Even taking some folks to task who were upset that you can have a homosexual relationship with Co. Something that I am totally trying to do in my playthrough. When I was in France, quite a number of years ago at this point, one of the most memorable things that I did during that trip was visiting two of the most famous museums in the world, the Louvre and Musée d'Orsay in Paris. Walking through those iconic hallways, seeing artwork by Da Vinci and Rembrandt and Monet, it's something that you will remember for the rest of your life. Even if, you know, you're not the biggest art buff in the world like me, it's also something that I know that I'm very lucky to have experienced, and the majority of people probably won't visit Paris in their life or get a chance to see those paintings in person. So how do you introduce folks to these works of art from wherever they are? Well, developer Pat Naum has created an ingenious vehicle for showcasing the artwork of Impressionist Claude Monet to a new audience, and that's through his video game, the master's pupil, which places players directly into the artist's work. Available now for $15 on PC and the Nintendo Switch, The Master's Pupil is a true labor of love for Naum, who hand-painted every art asset in the game over 2,000 hours, and it took 7 years to do. That is remarkable. The game is a 2D side-scroller that has you playing as a small, nameless white figure who must solve a number of color-focused puzzles in order to progress through 12 levels depicting Monet's different works. The puzzles are not overly complicated, but they provide just enough of a challenge, you know, to keep you thinking along the way. A typical level will require you to get past a gate of a specific color, say green. So to do that, you will have to color either yourself or an object first blue and then yellow to create the green before being able to proceed. And usually that involves finding a specific path through the level so that you don't get sprayed by like another color, which will change you, and then you won't be able to get through the gate. After completing a number of puzzles, you'll be treated to pieces of the world around you coming together to form one of Monet's famous pieces. It's a cool effect. It's a really neat trick. As a method for introducing classic art to a gaming audience who, in all likelihood, isn't, you know, very familiar with it, it's pretty darn clever. As a video game, it's less successful. You see, Naum isn't a game developer, or rather, you know, he wasn't when he started this project. He knew he wanted to introduce people to Monet's work, and he kind of learned to code and to create the game as he went along, which is wildly brave, but also it kind of shows a little bit in the product. I can appreciate simplicity in a game, but The Master's Pupil is a little bit of a one-trick pony. It's the same sort of puzzle for the most part throughout the entire game, and it doesn't have any real sense of progression other than getting to see more art. I also think there's a bit of a missed opportunity to give players a bit more information about the subject of the game, unless they do it all at the end, because I haven't quite finished it yet. There's no text or dialogue in the game, and being someone who isn't familiar with Monet's life, I'm not sure if there was subtext that I maybe just wasn't getting, and it would have been nice to get some little bits of information about his life as you go from level to level, because I would have legit been very interested to learn more about him, but the game, it just doesn't do that. It's an ambitious project. It's kind of hard to be too critical of the game's shortcomings, knowing just how much time and love and dedication went into it, and the fact that he was learning to make the game as he went, it's wildly impressive. I think if you're going into this looking for, you know, an entertaining and challenging puzzle platformer, you might be a little bit disappointed. But if you go into it instead thinking of it as more of an experimental interactive art exhibit, you might find more to enjoy. Either way, kudos to him for taking such a bold leap of faith and working so hard on a passion project. And if you have a chance to visit Paris and see the real things, do it. It's worth a trip for the baguettes alone. Let's talk about COVID vaccines. Wait, don't press stop, please. Just hear me out for a second. This week, the FDA approved a new COVID booster, which is expected to be available soon and is recommended that everybody get one, something that I think will probably be an uphill battle this year. People are tired of COVID, and they're getting used to things being mostly back to normal at this point. But I want to kindly request that you consider getting your booster this fall. We're already starting to see a surge in COVID cases across the country. You're seeing it in schools now that the kids have gone back. And I work in healthcare, and I can firsthand say that we've seen an increase in cases as well as outbreaks around the campus where I work. It's not gone. We're better prepared and we have much better treatments, but it's not gone. Despite what your uncle shared on Facebook, there is no vaccine conspiracy. They're safe and they're effective. The research has been done, and there's no reason for them to lie about it. Now, I've heard countless people say, why should I get the vaccine if I could still get COVID? And yeah, just like the flu shot, which people have taken without making a big deal about it for years, its effectiveness can vary from year to year as strains change. That's just how these things work. But there is no doubt that the fact that getting the shot not only makes you less likely to get it, but it makes it much less likely that you'll get seriously ill if you do. And it's less likely that you'll develop long COVID, which can have major life-changing consequences. And to be perfectly frank, it's just the right thing to do. It not only protects you, but it protects your family and your friends and your coworkers. If you're less likely to get it, you're less likely to spread it, especially to vulnerable people like the elderly, young children, and immunocompromised people like me. If I get COVID, not only could I get seriously ill, but it could derail my treatment for my autoimmune disease. So don't just think about yourself when you're deciding whether or not to get it, but think about those you love. You do love me, right? Thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I so appreciate you making time in your day for me. Don't forget you can catch a new episode of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can show your support by subscribing and leaving a review. And if you'd like to chat, look for Midlife Side Quest on Threads, Twitter, or Facebook. So until next week, be well and happy gaming.